present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil. Starring Richard Briers with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Jean Anderson, Dennis Ramsden, Blake Butler, and John Badley. Episode 1, Deaf Aid.
Roger?
Is that you, Sally? Shall be a minute, I'm in the bathroom.
No, I hear. What's all this about?
I'm gardening.
Well, yes, darling, I can see your garden, but why?
No, I'm just having a... You pat my back. Please stop.
But you asked me to.
I asked him to pat me on the back. I didn't say knock me down and put the boot in.
Stop you choking, anyway.
Then it stopped me breathing. Pass me those tablets, will you?
What are they?
Adrenaline.
Oh, Roger, darling, are you ill?
Not yet. Thanks. Another glass of water, please.
Oh. If you're not ill, why all this?
Preventive medicine.
Preventing what?
I thought I felt a cold coming on.
You can't possibly need all those bottles to fight a cold you haven't even got. What are they all, anyway?
Reading from left to right, we have Gargle, expectorant, inhalant, vitamin C, ferrous phosphates, liver extract, brewer's yeast, and tetracycline.
What's that for?
To stop it turning into pneumonia.
But you haven't got it yet.
Exactly. Prevention is better than cure.
Even if you have to work at it 24 hours a day.
Sally, darling, you don't seem to understand how vitally important it is at the moment for me to keep fit.
Because we've just got engaged, you mean?
Good Lord, no, that doesn't matter.
Doesn't it?
No.
I mean, yes. Of course it does. I mean, it wouldn't make any difference to us, would it? You wouldn't break it off if I got a cold and it turned pneumonia and I had to take to my bed.
No, I don't suppose I would.
I jolly well hope not. If you had to take to your bed, I'd be right there by your side.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
What?
Not until after we're married. But go on, Roger.
Go on where?
Well, why is it so important for you to keep fit?
At this moment. It won't matter so much later on. But now, when I'm on the very threshold of my career at the bar, struggling to get a foothold on the ladder which leads to fame and fortune, to silk, to the bench, to the court of appeal, to the woolsack. No, perhaps not the woolsack.
Why not?
I think I'm allergic to wool.
What nonsense. I often wear a woolen cardigan. So do you, for that matter.
Yeah, but that's not the same kind of wool the Lord Chancellor sits on.
How do you know?
Come to think of it, I don't. Pass me that inhaler thing, will you?
Why?
Bit of a tickle in my nose. Ooh.
You haven't finished telling me yet.
Telling you what?
Why is it so important at this moment?
Yes. Well, you see, here I am at the very threshold of my career, struggling...
Yes, Roger, you said that once.
Did I? Yes, well, that's it, you see. Isn't it obvious? Any week, any day, any moment, I might get that brief.
Which brief?
The big one, the important one, the case I'm going to win against all the odds. Now, the one that's finally going to give me a foothold on that ladder, which leads
which
to fame...
Which leads to fame, fortune, silk, bench, woolsack.
Sally, how on earth did you know what I was going to say?
And all this is because you're afraid of getting a cold and having to turn down a brief.
Not a brief, the brief. Good Lord, it's 6:30.
What about it?
Time for my antihistamine.
But you take that for allergic conditions. A wasp sting or nettle rats or woolsack or something.
That's right.
What on earth has it got to do with a cold then?
That's the diabolical cunning of it. I'm covered both ways, you see.
No, I don't.
In case it isn't a cold at all. In case it's hay fever.
Well, then you'd better get some Paludrine too, hadn't you, in case it turns out to be malaria.
Oh, do you think it will?
No, Roger, I don't. And I don't intend to spend the rest of the evening standing in this horrid little bathroom.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't stand any more of this.
But, darling, what is it? Has something happened to upset you?
Isn't it enough to upset anyone?
Well, I don't know. What?
Suddenly discovering I'm going to marry a hypochondriac.
You're doing nothing of the kind. You're marrying me.
Yes, Roger.
It's only till that brief comes along.
Is that true, Roger? Do you swear it's true?
Absolutely. Scout's honor. Just till I get a foothold on that ladder, which leads...
If you mention that ladder again, I'll scream.
Have one of these, quick.
What are they?
Tranquilizers.
No, thank you. All I need is your promise that you won't carry on like this when we're married.
Ah, well...
Don't you want to make a home? Start a new life together? Bring up a family?
Children?
Don't you want children?
Well, certainly, yes. Or hasn't your mother ever told you about the bees and the flowers and the pollen and all that?
Doctor, don't be a fool.
Not that it helps very much knowing about bees and flowers, actually. Ridiculous way to carry on, really. Look at that trouble they cause stirring up all that pollen so it blows around giving people hay fever.
Oh, don't start.
All right, then, kiss me.
Not now. Roger, if we're ever going to get married, it's time we put our cards on the table.
Table?
I may be old-fashioned, but I don't believe in a marriage where the wife's the only breadwinner.
You don't? Pity. No, I didn't mean that. No, no.
So how much money have you got?
Money? Money, well, now, let me see. At the moment, about £1.
In the bank.
Oh, well, in the bank.
Roger, what is your bank balance?
Actually, I think it's about 8.
Really? Well, it's not bad. £800.
Not 800.
8,000?
No, just 8.
Roger, over 6 months at the bar and all you've got is £8.
To be strictly accurate, minus 8.
You're overdrawn?
A temporary embarrassment.
Oh, this is worse than I thought. Have you any other debts?
Well, I'm a bit behind with rent.
How much?
A couple of months.
2 months? How much is that?
Only about £60.
60? You pay 30 a month for this?
I haven't for the last 2 months.
I think it's scandalous.
That's what the landlord said.
30 a month for this hovel?
Sally, what do you say? Be it never so humble, this is my home. And when we're married, it'll be your home, too.
Think again, Roger. I'm not starting married life in a tatty little, pokey little attic flat with a bedroom no bigger than a cupboard and a 2-foot bed.
2'6". And if it's big enough for me, it's big enough for the twain of us.
No, darling. We can't do better than that. Never the twain shall meet.
You don't mean that. You can't.
All I mean is, we'll have to wait to get married till we can afford to do it properly. But the sooner that brief comes along and you get that foothold on...
Sally, did you hear that?
Yes, Roger. You sneezed.
Shut the window quick.
Why? Are you in a draught?
No, in case those damn bees have woken up and the pollen's blowing in. Mother.
Oh, it's you, Roger.
Mother.
Lovely to see you, darling.
Mother.
Don't keep reminding me. It's so aging. Come along in. Such a lovely surprise when you rang up and said you were coming round.
Oh, what's surprising about it? I often come to see you, Mother, when I'm short of a tenner.
I hope you're not short of a tenner now.
Why?
Because I am, too.
Mother, you're not in debt again.
Oh, just a little bit. Are you?
Oh,
darling, you're catching a cold.
Certainly not.
Oh, hay fever, then.
Absolutely no.
But you sneezed.
I was merely expelling irritating material from the air passages of my nose.
But that's what I said. You sneezed.
But it's not a cold. It's not hay fever. It can't be after all that muck I've swallowed. It can't be. I can't bear it.
No, Roger, my poor boy, I'll get you a hot whiskey and lemon.
No, not whiskey.
Well, I ever not.
Heaven knows what would happen if I mixed whiskey with all that lot. Don't worry, Mother, I'll be all right.
Oh, Roger, you're so brave.
I suppose I am, rather.
Oh, there must be something I can get you.
Not now, no. I've got something to say to you, Mother. Something that'll make you very happy. I'm coming home.
You are home, darling. This is it.
No. I mean moving back into my old room. I'm getting rid of my flat.
What for? I thought you were getting married.
Well, you wouldn't expect me to start married life in a pokey little attic flat with a bedroom no bigger than a cupboard.
It's quite big enough for newlyweds.
Mother, there's more to marriage than bed.
Is there, darling?
Yes. I forget what it is at the moment, but I know there's something. So I said to Sally, we're not going to get married till we can afford to do it properly.
You said that to her?
Well, let's say we agreed it together. So I'm starting by economizing on rent.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, aren't you pleased to have your little boy back again?
Absolutely delighted, darling, if you sleep on the sofa.
Right. The sofa? Why not my own room?
I was planning to let it.
Let it?
Just till things get a bit easier. Your room and the spare room. I was going to advertise for lodgers.
Mother, you can't do that.
Why not?
What are my clients going to think? A barrister whose mother takes in lodgers.
Well, of course it... If you rented a room, darling, we could call you a paying guest.
How much do you want?
We'll discuss terms later, darling. That'll be Joy.
Oh, good. Joy? No! What's she doing here?
She's come to see you.
But you know I'm not supposed to see her.
She's got good news for you, darling.
Is that what she calls it?
Well, she didn't like to ring your flat, so she telephoned me to leave a message. And as I knew you were on your way, I said she'd better come and tell you herself. Oh, I must let her in.
Mother, you want to leave us alone together?
Don't be silly, Roger. You're a big boy now, or aren't you? Just arrived, Joy. He'll be so pleased.
Oh, Mother, how could you?
Roger, how lovely to see you again.
Hello, Joy.
How are you, darling? Oh, poor thing. You've got a cold.
I have not. It's you.
Me?
You're wearing a wool sack. I mean a woolen cardigan.
Isn't he sweet, Mrs. Thursby? Hasn't changed a bit.
No, I keep thinking he'll grow up someday, but he never does.
I know, it's so endearing.
That's why I just carry on as if I wasn't here.
Don't be so touchy, darling. I'm going to make us all a cup of coffee now.
Mother, don't go!
I shan't be long.
Oh, Roger, this is nice, isn't it? Just like old times.
It's not like old times at all. Stay where you are. Don't go any closer.
If it's the wool that worries you, I'll take my cardigan off.
No, you mustn't. Draw the curtains.
I'm not taking anything else off, darling. At the moment.
But anyone going past could look in and see us.
Why shouldn't they? We're not doing anything wrong, are we? Not yet.
Joy, I'm engaged to Sally.
Even if you are, other people are allowed to speak to you, aren't they?
Other people. Not you. You're different.
Do I still worry you, Roger?
Yes. I mean, no. I mean, I shouldn't be talking to you at all.
Oh, how lovely, Roger. I still give you the urge.
Ridiculous. Urge? What urge?
Just the urge, Roger.
You leave me cold. You leave me unmoved. You... Joy, leave me alone, please. Go on, get on.
All right, darling. Business before pleasure. I've got some news for you. My uncle was very cross when you wouldn't take on that big case for him. But he's relented, Rogerson. Won't you?
Certainly not. What do you mean, he's relented?
He's sending you down another brief.
I won't take it.
But you can't refuse.
I can and I will.
Is it because you've got so many cases that you haven't time to take another one? Every hour of every day taken up with a case? You have done well, Roger. Congratulations.
Thanks.
If that's the case, why weren't you in court today?
How do you know I wasn't?
Were you?
No.
Yesterday?
No, not yesterday, no.
Last week?
Last week it was still the vacation.
But there were county courts open, weren't there? Why weren't you in one of them? Or don't you go to county courts anymore? Have you given up your old clients with your old friends, Roger?
I am an other.
Oh, Roger, don't be pompous. Doesn't suit you at all.
Doesn't it? That's all right. Well, I'm engaged to Sally.
You said that before. I once heard a judge say to you, is that your best point? Is it?
It's a very good point, isn't it? A chap who's engaged has no business to go play around with other girls.
Not other girls, darling. One other girl.
That's worse.
But you're not playing around. You're just explaining to me why you insist upon being disbarred.
What on earth do you mean? Disbarred? I've done nothing wrong.
Haven't you? I thought you once told me that a barrister couldn't refuse a brief unless it was impossible for him to take it, or it was on a subject which he didn't practice. You did tell me that, didn't you, Roger?
Do you remember everything I said?
Nearly everything. I've got some nicer bits than that. Shall I tell you some of them?
Certainly not.
I'm sorry you're going to be disbarred, Roger. I really am. You had such a bright future in front of you.
But there you go again. Disbarred. It's nonsense.
But if you refuse this brief from Uncle Alfred when you could do it, that's against etiquette, isn't it?
That depends. What's the case about?
Well, it's certainly a subject you know something about. At least you ought to if you're planning to get married. It's a divorce.
Your uncle is sending me a divorce case?
Yes.
Why?
Why do you think?
Because you asked him to.
Oh, darling, why should you think I'd ask him to?
Because you want to get your hands on me again.
Clever, darling. You know it all. When shall I bring the brief down?
You won't bring it down at all.
But I'll have to if they ask me to, darling.
But don't keep calling me darling. That's all over.
Is it, darling? It was nice while it lasted, though, wasn't it? I enjoyed every moment of it, every gorgeous, thrilling moment. Didn't you, Roger?
Certainly not.
Then why did you do it?
Politeness.
Did you only kiss me out of politeness?
All that sort of thing is in the past.
Well, nice to have it somewhere, isn't it? And you will take the brief, then?
Well, I suppose I'll have to.
That's all settled, then. When shall I bring the client down to see you, Roger?
Look, my clerk arranges that sort of thing.
Aren't we being just a little bit pompous again, Roger? Shouldn't you wait until you're on the bench before you do that, or at least until you become a QC? You weren't at all pompous when you told me I was the most attractive girl you'd ever met and that I did something to you. Shall we say tomorrow, then? My client's a man, I'm afraid. A Mr. Go Lightly. He's a bit like you, Roger. I should say, like you, as you are today.
What do you mean?
It's rather difficult to get anything out of him. He's what you call non-communicative. Nobody could say that I was non-communicative, could they, Roger? I communicate things to you when I'm not even speaking. Can you feel me communicating now?
No. Yes. Yes, but how do I get?
Oh, Roger, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. It means you still love me just a little bit.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It simply means you're communicating.
Darling, I love you too.
No, you don't. No, keep up. Go away. No, don't. You've communicated enough. Now keep your distance.
It's please. All right. I've taken my cardigan off.
You think I haven't noticed? Now, Joy, no, please. Look, don't touch me. Look, it's not fair.
Well, just one little kiss for old time's sake.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
La 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 la. in if you must.
Oh.
Ah, there's me, my dear fella.
Good morning. Good morning, Grimes. Can you spare me a few minutes?
No, my dear fella. I can spare you exactly 1.5 minutes.
1.5?
Yeah, 90 seconds. Don't sit down, my dear fella. Don't sit down. It's not worth it.
Well, if you're very busy, Grimes, I can come back later.
Won't make any difference. I'd still be busy. I've got a lot of homework, my dear fella. 400-page brief in the Liscard libel case.
Oh, that's coming on at last.
Sit down for Monday. If you've nothing better to do, you better come into court, my dear fellow. Some tricky business, very complicated. Might interest you.
It certainly would. Mm. I look forward to hearing you. You know how you cope with us.
Bless you. Got a cold coming, have you?
No, Grimes, I have not.
Oh.
It's a momentary irritation in the air passage. I've taken steps to ensure that I don't get a cold.
Oh, have you indeed, my dear fellow? Personally, I can't stomach as much whiskey as all that.
What's whiskey got to do with it?
That's the only way, my dear fella. Only way at all. Half a pint of whiskey with a dash of lemon. 20 seconds, my dear fella.
What?
You wanted to say something to me. You've got 20 seconds before I get back to the Liscard libel brief.
But it's just that Mr. Merivale's sending me down a brief, you see. A divorce case.
Yes.
Can you think of any reason why I should refuse it?
Well, why should you want to refuse it, my dear fella? Don't you want the fee?
Want it? I need it desperately. But I don't want to have to see Joy again.
Ah, the Merivale niece, eh? Been in touch again, has she?
Touch is dead right. She's been communicating.
There's your answer, my dear fellow. If you must refuse the brief, say you're ill, laid low with a severe cold.
But I haven't got a cold. I can't have. It wouldn't be honest to pretend, would it?
Oh, no, my dear fellow, not honest. No. Time's up. You come in.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Thursby's clients are here in Go Lightly and Go Lightly.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you. Now, run along, my dear Thursby, if you insist on being honest. And do your best, my dear fella. Do your best.
Hi, Eric. I'm ready. Send them in.
Mr. Merivale would like to see you first, alone.
Mr. Merivale?
That's right.
Not Miss?
No, sir.
Well, that's something.
What's that, sir?
Nothing. Show Mr. Merivale in, will you?
Mr. Merivale, sir. How are you, my dear Roger?
I'm very well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Joy couldn't get down. She's got a bit of a cold. Yeah, I see where she caught it.
Nothing of the kind. I haven't got a cold. It's impossible.
Quite. Well, now, Joy asked me to... Now, wait a moment. I've got it written down here. Ah, yes. Here we are. She asked me to communicate her regards to you.
I bet you did. Thank you, sir. I hope you'll soon be better.
Any other message, Roger?
Well, perhaps you'd better say it was nice to see you the other day. No, scrub that.
I beg your pardon?
What? No, just say I do hope you'll soon be better.
Very well, my boy. Now to business. You may be surprised to hear that today I'm here for my sake and not for yours. I believe you've got a great future ahead of you, Roger, and I want to be in on the ground floor.
But Joy won't be upstairs, I'm afraid. She's told you I'm engaged, hasn't she?
Yes, I know all about that. But this interview is on a strictly business basis. I've come to you on your own merits, surprisingly enough.
Oh, that's very flattering, Mr. Merivale. You think I'm not such a bad lawyer after all, then?
Not such a bad lawyer after all. I very much doubt if you know any law at all.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, but you couldn't be expected to yet. Now, what you have got, Roger, and it's a very rare thing, perhaps more women have it than men, you've got a feeling for it. You know how to rub a judge up the wrong way so that he feels bound to come down on your side just to show he isn't prejudiced. We've got a difficult client here. When you first meet him, you may think he's deaf and dumb, but he's not. He's just very slow. And if you can get him to give more than his name and address to the court, you'll be lucky. So what it really comes to is this. This is the sort of case where you have to give the evidence, and with luck, you'll be able to get a few yeses or noes out of him.
Yeah, but then I'll be asking leading questions, won't I?
That's right.
But it's not allowed, and the judge will jump on me.
Well, let him jump. I mean, you'll get up again, ask another leading question.
Then he'll jump again.
Yeah, quite right. And knock you for six. And when you come back from the boundary, ask another leading question.
But I can't do this, Mr. Merivale. It's against the rules.
Then you'll have to find some other way. And that's why I've come to you. As I say, I think you've got an instinct for this sort of thing. Yeah, we'd better have the client in.
Well, all right, I'll do my best, Mr. Merivale. Oh, Alec, would you bring in Mr. Golightly, please?
I hope you've got plenty of time. It'll take about a quarter of an hour for him to answer your first question. Maybe a little better with the second. It'll probably take about 10 minutes.
Mr. Golightly, sir.
Mr. Golightly, this is Mr. Thursby, your counsel. This is Mr. Thursby, your counsel. Mr. Golightly, this is Mr. Thursby, your counsel.
Yes, I heard you the first time. Mr. Thursby, did you say? Now, is that with an E or I or a U?
A U.
Are you sure it's not mine?
No. Are you?
Isn't it? Would your father's name have been Kirby?
Yes.
With an I?
No, are you?
And what have you been coming from Panama?
No, from Putney.
And your grandfather, now, did he spell it with an I?
No, you.
And your great-grandfather?
But they've always been Jews, as far as I can trace them.
Now, you swear to that?
To the best of my knowledge, information, and belief.
Then I'm afraid I've nothing more to say.
You... Look, Mr. Grant, there are one or two questions I'd like to ask you. Now, after your wife left you, you say that you met a woman called Martha. Now, what was her surname? What was Martha's surname, Mr. Golightly?
Mr. Golightly, Mr. Thursby is asking you what Martha's surname was.
Yes, I heard him the first time.
But would you mind answering, Mr. Golightly?
I would.
Why?
Well, I don't know, and that's a fact. You see, it was dark.
It was dark?
Yes, it was dark. It was as black as pitch. I couldn't hear a word.
You mean surely you couldn't see a thing?
Nor that neither.
Look, all I want to know is what Martha's surname was.
Well, I tell you, it was dark. I mean, have you ever made love to a woman in the dark?
I don't think you want to ask Mr. Thursby that sort of question.
Well, he's asking me.
I wasn't, as a matter of fact. I haven't got as far.
Well, you have now. Now, listen, when I make love to a woman in the dark, I don't ask her a surname.
You, Mr. Thursby, please, look, what happened when you put the lights on?
Well, I never did.
Didn't you want to see her face?
Well, sure I wanted to see her face.
Then why didn't you put the light on?
There was not a light.
You mean you were out of doors?
Yes, have you never been in a field?
Not with Martha.
But you don't know her, do you? I mean, you wouldn't even have known a Christian name if I told you.
So it was what you might call a passing acquaintance. Now, how long did it last?
And you're complaining about the questions I ask you.
How long did the acquaintance last?
Well, I couldn't rightly say, but it was still dark.
And you've never seen her since?
Well, how should I know?
You mean you never saw her face at all?
I told you it was pitch black.
Mr. Golightly, I must say it sounds a pretty squalid affair to me.
You see, there was the broad heaven above and the rich earth beneath. I mean, would you prefer a back room at a third-class hotel? As a matter of fact, all I did was to recite Shakespeare to her. Martha, I said, look how the floor of heaven is thick inlaid with the battens of rich gold. There's not the...
I thought you said it was dark.
Well, it was where we were. You see, you sit, Martha, I said, look how the floor of heaven is thick inlaid with patines of rich gold. Rich gold. Yeah, that's as far as I got, I think.
Well, Mr. Thursby, if you've nothing further to ask, Mr. Golightly.
I have several things. Sorry. Yes, I'm terribly sorry. It's irritation. It's not a cold.
No.
Is it not? Yeah. It can't be. Or can it?
Come in, Minnie Thursby. I could spare you 3.5 minutes this morning. I nearly got through the Liskard libel brief. I could spare you 3.5 minutes, you see. Now then, you better sit down, my dear fella.
Grabs. Grabs.
Sit down, my dear fella.
I want your help.
You will sit down first and tell me what the trouble is.
You see...
Oh, do sit down, my dear fella. There's a chair just behind you.
You see, Grabs.
Thursby, my dear fella, do sit down.
You see, Grabs. I have got a cold after all.
Well, I can hear that. It doesn't prevent you from sitting down.
No, no, no. It's my Eustachian tube. It's blocked and I can't hear a word you say.
Never mind, my dear fellow. I don't suppose it's worth hearing anyway.
No, I've been caught in a few minutes. What am I to do?
In a few minutes? Well, you better go and put your robes on then.
What am I to do, Grimes? I haven't heard a word you've said and I shan't be able to hear what anybody else says in the court.
Do your best, my dear fellow.
How would that help? I can't anyway. Hasn't got buttons on it.
What are you talking about?
You told me to undo my best.
I said, do your best, Mr. Church.
But Grimes, why on earth should I?
What? Should you what?
Bear you a grudge.
Who's the judge?
Oh, it's Mr. Justice Whitehorn.
You'll drive him there in the pain, but he's pretty well there already, so that won't matter much, my dear fella. Off you go. Good luck.
Now, Mr. Golightly, turn to his lordship and answer his lordship's question. I didn't hear what it was, by the way, but no doubt you did.
I haven't asked any questions yet, Mr. Thursby.
What are you waiting for, Mr. Golightly? Answer his lordship's question, Mr.
Thursby. I haven't yet asked any questions.
I hope the answer was satisfactory, my lord. Thank you, Mr. Golightly, that's all. Now, my lord, on that evidence, I ask your lordship to exercise your lordship's discretion and grant a decree, Dicey.
Mr. Thursby, I'm not very happy about exercising discretion.
Thank you, my lord, and I ask for costs.
I haven't yet granted your client a divorce.
Thank you, my lord, with costs. I'm much obliged, my lord.
Mr. Thursby, can you hear me?
Very well, thank you, my lord. A decree with costs, much obliged, my lord.
I didn't say decree with costs. I said I wanted to hear you on a matter of discretion.
No, my lord, I'm not in the next case.
Mr. Thursby, the next case has not yet been called on. I want to hear you in your case.
No, my lord, there's nothing else the petitioner wants. Thank you, my lord.
What about discretion?
Yes, my lord, it's a discretion case and your lordship exercised it in my favor.
I had not yet exercised it in your favor.
Thank you very much, my lord.
What are you thanking me for, Mr. Thursby?
For your lordship's patience in granting my client a decree Dicey with costs.
So be it, Mr. Thursby. Decree Dicey with costs.
Do you know who that young man is?
Yes, his name's Thursby, Roger Thursby.
He'll be just the job for that case of mine tomorrow. Know where I can find his clerk?
Yes, he's just going up there.
Excuse me, are you Mr. Roger Thursby's clerk?
That's me, sir.
Could Mr. Thursby do a small, undefended divorce for me tomorrow in this court? My firm's name is Morton and Bluster.
Yes, certainly, sir. If his cold doesn't get any worse.
Drink up your medicine, Roger.
What did you say, Mother?
I said I'll put you over my knee and thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mother. What would I do without you?
Drink it up.
I can't.
Then I'll have to send for Sally.
No, she mustn't know I got a cold.
Well, perhaps Joy would come and help me then.
Oh, all right, I'll drink it.
Good boy.
But honestly, half a pint of whiskey.
Your great-uncle Stephen swore by it and he never had a cold in his life.
Great-uncle Stephen died of drink.
Not until 98. Now, don't make such a fuss, Roger. Drink it up. You'll be better in the morning.
Good morning, good morning. Lovely day, Alec.
How's the cold, sir?
What cold? Never had a cold.
Oh, that's good, sir. Because Mr. Grimes would like to see you. But then perhaps you'd have a word with the clients. This is Mr. Thorogood of Morton and Gloucester.
Oh, morning, Mr. Thorogood.
You can hear perfectly.
Of course.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, that's Tormit. I'm afraid I only wanted you because the judge couldn't stand any more. You know, I've got a very tricky little case that wants just that sort of treatment. Well, you don't happen to have another deaf barrister in the chambers, do you?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, tell me where I can find one, then, for God's sake.
He was off my club there. Goodbye, Mrs. Thorogood. That's all I'm good for. Nobody wants me when I'm normal.
Don't want you, my dear, then. Of course they do. That's what I come in for. I want you at this very moment. This good libel case now is a brief. Only 400 pages.
What?
Yeah, you just have a quick look at it, my dear fellow. I want you to go into court and hold the fort for me.
For me? I couldn't.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll be there tomorrow with any luck. No point in going today. Court's a cold, my dear fellow. I can't hear a word you say. Louder!
Right,
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts are played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson, Merivale, Dennis Ramsden, Alec, Blake Butler, Mr. Golightly, John Badley, the judge, Manny Wilson, the solicitor's clerk, Martin Friend. Death Aid was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Clapham Whiteley.